He pummels his block. He's in. Touchdown, North Dakota. Touchdown, Kaminsky. His second today. Kaminsky rolling out, and he throws to the corner. He's got a man pulled in. Touchdown, Tang Tang. Yes, sir. Touchdown, North Dakota. How about that?
UND Football 360.
Going deep. They've got something they like. It is caught deep downfield. B.J. Fleming, touchdown, North Dakota. Touchdown, North Dakota. 82-yard catch and run, and UND strikes first.
Analysis, commentary, news, and a look ahead. Look ahead. It's all things UND football. This is the UND Football 360 Podcast.
Touchdown, North Dakota!
With your host, Kelly Howe, and Tank McNamara.
But first, North Dakota.
North Dakota, led by quarterback Jerry Kaminsky. He has 17 touchdowns, one interception. So it's not just offense, it's also keeping the ball and taking the ball away like you see on the defensive side of the ball. And yes, we talk about the quarterback, but let's not forget their offensive line is one of the best in their conference.
Well, there you have it. They didn't say it, but yeah, we're number eight. Number eight. In the top 10. That's ESPN's poll today that came out. What is the top 10? Who's top 10?
Well, that's the committee.
That's the FCS committee.
That matters.
Okay.
Yep, that matters. So at this snapshot in time, we're eight, which is great. You know, that's where that's fine. That's where you'd be. You're 4-2 on the year. To be number eight's good. You know, they obviously, if they would have pulled out one of those other, you know, Montana or Kansas State, they'd be even higher. But eight's fine. You just want to be in that top 10. You want to be in the conversation. You're on the radar now. You know, that's the type of thing where in the past you'd notice that when they keep talking about teams and they keep mentioning them all year and you keep hearing them, they seem to get in at the end of the year in the playoffs and they seem to get seeds. So that was great. I mean, I think at this point, if you're Eric Schmidt, you're happy with number eight.
I don't think he is, though.
Yeah, no, he probably isn't.
No, he just has that mentality that until they put a ring on his finger, he's not going to be happy, which is great to see, but it was also a great weekend for UND athletics.
Yeah, geez, I was thinking, obviously, we live in the football world, but yeah, it was a big home weekend, a lot of games going on, so you just, you know, you like to evaluate at the end of the weekend, hey, how did it go overall for UND? Well, football team obviously got a nice win. Hockey team was home Friday night, beat St. Thomas, very eventful game from what I understand. Volleyball got a win at home, beat Oral Roberts. Soccer got a win over NDSU. And so I think it was a sweep because then hockey followed it up Sunday night down at the X.
Grand Casino.
Yeah, the X. But
Grand
Arena. Yeah. Well, that'll take a little while to catch you on. But then they followed it up with a win Sunday night. So it was a straight sweep for UND this weekend. So that's always good. You know, it gets the fan base pumped up and stuff. So, no, it was and then to follow it up with this now, and UND heads out on the road for another big top 15 tilt. I don't know what Southern Illinois will come in at, but yeah, it was exciting. Good weekend.
Tailgating was fun. Almost 12,000 tickets sold for the game.
And what are they, about 11-6, I believe, something like that for the year, averaging.
Wasn't this like 11-9?
Yeah, so this is the highest it's ever been, I know for a fact.
And kudos to the Alaris Center. I'm just going to tell you this now. Boy, when our defense came out on first down, they had those noise meters going. They had the music cranked up. I thought it was a great job by the Alaris. We're getting there. Yeah. We're getting there. First and second down, we were making it a little louder. Overall, the atmosphere, I thought it was going to be bigger and louder than what it was. I thought as fans, we could have done a little better job making it harder for them to communicate. Yeah. But
The deal. That happens. People, we need to understand that. That happens some weeks. I mean, they've had the first couple home games have been great.
Yeah.
I went down to last year, I was at Alabama versus South Carolina. And honestly, they played hip-hop music for 80% of the game. I mean, it was like I was at a concert. You wouldn't think that at an Alabama game.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd wasn't into that game hardly at all. Honestly, got for four straight quarters. No, they're just indifferent. I mean, So it's not like you go to a SEC school and, oh, God, they're just intense. Like you see, you know, if Alabama's playing LSU on ESPN. Oh, look at that atmosphere. That's unbelievable. Yeah, that game is. But they have clunkers at home, too, where the fans spent it all the week before. And then the next week, there's nothing going on. It's a dead atmosphere.
I would say, though, in the Alaris Center, if it is moving on that first snap of the game, we have a 50-50 shot of them on a false start.
All right. Yep.
Don't you think, though? Yep. If I think it happened pretty... in the NDSU game. Didn't it happen on one of their first snaps?
Yeah. Yep. It gets.
And then it happened quite a few times.
Well,
that game,
then it feeds the crowd then.
Yeah.
Now so they know they're a part of it.
Get going right away because I'd say that first snap of the game, if they can hear, they have a 50-50 shot of jumping outsides.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good point.
You're not used to it. So just something to think about. But the Alaris Center, I thought you did a great job during the game, trying to keep that crowd involved. Hey, should we talk about the sponsors of the show?
Let's do it. Let's run through them.
They
keep us going.
We almost need to go do one of these at Rumors. Remember we did the show last year?
Last year we did it. Yeah, when would that be?
Oh, big one be good right now?
Indiana State, we're going to be gone. That one's a tough weekend for us. Yeah, it would be NDSU or SDSU.
Go Why not there? Both? Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe go catch practice or something. So they got great lunch there, and you're always going to have that thirst quench taken care of at Rumors. They've got those big mugs there. Also, Development Homes, Inc., gaming, simulcast horse racing, electronic pull tabs, blackjack, pig wheel. A lot of fun. They make Rumors even more fun than it actually than it already is, right?
Oh, yeah. Bring your wallet. Yep. It's fun, but you got to be ready for it.
Yep. Toasted Frog, downtown Grand Forks. Just a spectacular place to go dine when you're out in Grand Forks. Make sure you head downtown. Check out the Toasted Frog. Interstate Industrial, Oilfield Services, TankLogo.com, Tank McNamara. That would be me. By the way, I've got our JYD apparel with our artist right now. He's coming up with some designs. So be looking for some new 360 apparel. And we'll get that
online
little baby site going for Lance Rucker again, who having a big year. And I talked with him after the game on Saturday. And it's funny to watch offense and defense of guys because Simon Ruffo came by. And they said something, and he's like, well, I can't hit you in practice. I'm like, well, isn't he fair game now? He goes, I don't touch him. I'm like, why? He goes, I hit him in practice in fall camp. I got kicked out. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but it's fun. Yeah, intensity, right? Those gray jerseys are hard to see at UND. But yeah, you don't want to be really too responsible for a guy that is competing for starting quarterback job and you have a little mishap in practice. That is hard, isn't it?
It's not that important to hit him. No. Yeah. Well, Simon, like I said, he runs around a little bit. I'm sure it was something where he was making something happen. And
yeah.
And they gotta stop him.
They were having fun back and forth. So you got to like the intensity. And then, tanklogo.com for any of your apparel or promotional product needs. And the Kelly Howe Agency, NODAC Insurance. So, hey, if I'm driving and I hit a deer this time of year, right? Do I just call you and then you pick up the phone and you're, yep, Tank, I got you taken care of.
That's how it works. Yep, that's what it is. Customer service number one, Tank. See, yep. So
I would do it,
but just call.
I live in Minnesota, so
they're going to start moving around here, folks. So keep your eyes peeled because probably in the next couple weeks they're going to start, and you never know when the rut starts. But, yeah, once the hunters are out and moving around, then the deer are moving around, and that's when the phone rings a couple times every year.
How do you make your phone ring?
Well, you make it by people calling 701-532-0624, Tank.
That's a great number. That's a number to happiness and great rates. Especially if you own property in North Dakota, Minnesota, and Arizona.
Correct.
You could put a nice little package together. If you're a North Dakota resident, right? Primary residence.
Primary residence.
What would you do without me? I don't even get a cut. All right. Let's go on to that Kelly Howe Agency game review. 35-17, the win over Youngstown State. Really, I think another test for this defense with this running quarterback that we saw, Bo. He didn't have a lot going for him in that first half. They didn't really have anything. They were like, geez.
Nope.
I was not impressed with Youngstown State in that first half.
They do what they do. Let's put it that way. So, like I think I said it on the show last week, they're going to run Brungard, and he's going to be their leading rusher, and he's going to hit some shots downfield. If you stop the running him, slow him down, they just kind of won't win. That's just how it'll go. I mean, they don't have another option.
No.
So, you know, they're looking to do what they do, and that's fine. Kind of like if you run triple option team. Hey, they're going to run the triple option. If you stop it, they're going to lose. Okay, they just don't have another way. They don't have plan B. And it seems like Youngstown's that way. And they kind of went deep a little bit more because of that. But, yeah, UND had a nice game plan. They had a lot of hats around looking at Brungard. When you'll notice, I rewatched it again yesterday. When he takes off multiple times or the designed runs, UND always had someone in front of him. He rarely, if ever, took off straight up the field and got 10, 15 yards. He was always running left and right because there were bodies in front of him forcing him left and right. That's what we wanted, right? So, yeah, it was a good game plan. I mean,
she liked how our defensive line played it.
It's, yeah, well, the D-line stayed. You could see they were staying in their lanes. Yeah, they were staying home. Four guys, four lanes. They weren't crossing over much. They were working straight up the field
when they'd get by.
So then he'd escape, right, inevitably, or there would be a design run and he'd get through. But then the next wave was around, and he would see the next defender in front of him and have to make a decision. That's what you want. Within those first 3 yards, he has to make a decision left and right. That's when we started bringing him down. It worked well. He had 19 carries, 71 yards. We'll take that. I mean, that's about as good as it gets because he's their guy. So, and their running back run game is non-existent. So they knew that coming in. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, they didn't even pretend to have
a
rushing attack from the backfield.
However, now to give Brungard credit, he hit a few passes downfield that were beautiful. Nice ball downfield. He has a good arm. And do you see his arms? Kid is jacked.
Yeah.
I mean, big, like lineman arms on him. I'm like, Jesus. He sits in front of the mirror and does curls all week or something. I mean, holy. He didn't look like a quarterback.
And if you're a Youngstown State fan, you got to love that third quarter, the way that offense did try to push it. They were like, hey, we got nothing else to lose right now. Let's go. Like you were talking about. Velpo should have been going for it on fourth down from the 50-yard line.
Flash Wilson, he was good. That little receiver, that dude could move, and he got behind us twice, one for long touchdown, one deep when we actually, at the start of the second half, tackled him, and then we held him to a field goal. It was inside the five, I believe, and we held him to a field goal. That was a big part of that game because if they get a touchdown there, now it's 28-14, if I recall correctly, you know, instead of 28-10. So that was a big one.
Yeah. Oh, who was it? I talked to Schmitty about that that series because, whoever it was that got beat on that play came up and made a great open field tackle when they tried to bring it into a sweep to the outside.
Was that Lewis?
No, it wasn't Lewis on that one. Anyway.
Okay.
But just it seemed like when UND gave up a big play, we were right there.
Right.
And that's kind of what me and Schmitty were talking about. Thought at times when we needed to and that field gets shorter, we made plays.
Yeah. And that showed up at the end there. And they got the fourth down stop at the end. They were inside the 10. And we came up with three stops in a row to, you know, there was UND had three fourth down stops in the game. Those are basically turnovers. They won't count for turnovers, but. That's three turnovers.
I told Schmidt it felt like that game had more fourth down plays than I've had seen in a long time.
Yeah, they kept going for it, Youngstown, and they had to. Credit to them. But, yeah, I mean, Brungard's a good player. The receivers, pretty good players. You know, their O-line was decent. But, yeah, the UND defense played well. I mean, they only gave up 17 points. And granted, the third quarter, that got a little ugly, got a little murky. You know, it just kind of was off.
It looked like they tried to go after Nolan, our true freshman corner, a little bit in that third quarter. And, you know, he had some struggles early on, but, boy, he finished that game strong, didn't he?
Well, they got him on the touchdown, okay? So, and that was Flash Wilson. They got him on the post, and that's a good play design by them. They isolated him. We didn't have any help over top, which means our help was, you know, pushed out of the area by another receiver. However, I got in my notes right here. Possibly, I mean, you could say the biggest play of the game was the 3rd and 10 stop that Nolan made on the fade ball to Max Tomczak. Now, they threw a fade. This is senior against freshman, and they like that matchup, obviously, because Tomczak's one of the best receivers in the league. And 3rd and 10, it's 28-17, I believe. They're going right to left on the screen, and Nolan got right into him, threw his arm up across his chest, and the ball hit off Nolan's arm. Breakup, they punt. Okay, so, whew, you know, he kind of exhale. Well, if you recall, right after that, we went down 8-minute drive. That was our 8-minute drive right after at the end of the third, into the fourth. It was, no, start of the fourth, and it was 8 minutes. So you got to think. Now, Youngstown sitting there at 28-17 thinking, okay, you know, we're only down 2 scores. We can get back in this thing, you know, very easily as soon as we get the ball back. Well, UND burned 8 minutes off the clock. There was 6.5 minutes left in the game when they scored to make it 35-17. Well, it's over. I mean, if you're Doug Phillips, you're looking up at the clock like, what? Like, just one drive ago, I thought we were right there going down to pull within a score. Now we're down 35-17 and there's only 6 minutes left. So, yeah, UND, that was complimentary football played by the Hawks in that situation.
Somebody should have asked Eric Schmidt when he said it, but in the post game when I talked to him, he said he missed a couple calls. What do you think he means by that?
Trying to think back. It would be a big play.
How would a coach
play.
Say that? You know, like,
it would be a, if he missed one, I'm guessing he, because the run game was fine, I'm guessing he thought he should have brought pressure when he didn't, is what I'm saying, because he missed a call. To make a call tells me he wanted to make a more aggressive call than the one he made. I'm guessing he would have liked to bring pressure and speed up, just like I talked about last week, speed up the play. Like, maybe it was during the game I tweeted that or something. We got to bring pressure and speed it up. You know what I mean? Speed up the play a little bit because he's standing back there looking for guys deep downfield. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was the post.
Because he's like,
he
missed
too much
one.
Time. He had 3 seconds to stand there and let that post develop against a true freshman corner. Probably can't do that. Probably got to bring an extra guy. Speed up. I'm guessing that's what he's getting at. So.
I don't think he missed many.
Nah, they played fine. What else do we got in the notes? Fleming, BJ Fleming.
Before we go to offense. Yeah. Let's talk about Malachi McNeil because his stats said it. I enjoy visiting with him after the game. He's got a lot of personality, that guy, and he's fun to visit with. But, boy, I've seen some isolation of him from Saturday, some of the highlights. Wow, he can really close things down in a hurry, and he can get from point A to point B, and just a lot of good football plays that he made on Saturday.
He was explosive. He's doing well this year. Looks a little more energized. I mean, maybe that's just training. Maybe slimmed down.
The
maybe
defense, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. But he was moving. He was moving out there. He was always around, you can tell. Juiced up, made some nice tackles on Brungard in particular. He looked like they had him around. He was one of those guys I was talking about that was hanging around the middle all the time while he lines up there. But I think it was, you know, dedicated to the run game, to the Brungard QB run game type thing. So, yeah, he was good. Defensive player of the week. Missouri Valley defensive player of the week would have 10 tackles, a TFL, and a sack. Yeah, he was everywhere. And the way I kind of, you know, simply quantify things is, God, he was noticeable.
Yeah.
You know, when you notice guys, geez, he's flashing. He was noticeable. I mean, not real particular, but that's the best compliment I can give. He was just around, and he was bringing them down. And once again, tackling I thought was good in this game. Tackling's been good. It's been better this year.
We're not tackling a lot with our shoulders.
No.
You know what I mean? Where you bounce off and it's like,
Yep.
Wrap up, guys.
Yep. Wrap up. Bring it on. Then
slow
the no big
him down
show.
At least until you can get some help. I hate tackling with the shoulder.
They're not going for the show hits or anything this year. Yep. Yep. Kind of bringing them down. And, you know, Zach Lewis, he had another nice game back there. He had a big breakup on that fourth down. He shot through and knocked it down, but he's energetic. Coach Schmidt told us last week, you know, he's a football player, loves football, loves Bubba. Well, you can sense it. He's just looking for a play out there at all times.
Yeah. And then the family comes out on the field, family and friends visit with the players after the game. And that's where I'm kind of waiting around to do some interviews. And he came running off, and I think it was Schmidt's kids were playing football, and he hopped right in and was talking smack with the boys, just having a good time with them. And yeah, that guy's full of personality.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good pickup. He brings little boisterous mentality to the locker room.
High energy.
Yeah.
Very high energy. Yeah, he's a locker room guy. Okay, let's go to the offense. It's just Fleming. What do you do to slow this guy down if you're playing defense against him?
Well, they're finding him. That's the thing. UND's finding him. I don't know, you know. Teams are obviously, you know, he'll go against good corners and it'll toughen up, but he's running good routes. He's getting open. He's a crisp route. You know, he's real skilled out there. Plus the way stride, you know, his stride is so smooth and speed in the open field. And they're just, you know, credit to Isaac Frick. They're getting him open. You know, they know who their guy is now. He's established himself as number one and they're setting him up in positions to make plays. And like that, even like that short crosser he caught, I think that was a 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10 or something like that. He caught a short crosser, turned it up the field and got like 12, and just think he's doing it all. It's not just deep stuff. So yeah, it's that was another big portal pickup. Those, you never know what you're getting out of the portal, and that it'll always be that way. But between Zach and him, boy, it's been two good pickups.
This one's for Schmitty, but and for the record, where did those guys come from?
Northern Arizona.
Okay. Yeah. Let's.
One of them's from Texas.
Let's talk about the first half. Wow. I like the aggressive approach this football team has. Like, yep. Hey, you know what? We're gonna keep going, and we're gonna we went for it on. Fourth down on the second series, correct?
Yeah, fourth and three, I believe, and got it.
Yep. Was that the touchdown?
Oh, boy, what do we do? Oh, the throw to Stay? Hayden Stay. Yeah, how about that catch?
Yeah.
That ball was behind his head, kind of like OBJ back in the day would put his hand behind his head. Hayden Stay kind of had to turn, contort his body, and twist in the air to grab. That was a hard catch. I don't care what that's a hard catch for Fleming.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is your tight end who you never throw to. And he open field all by yourself. I mean, that was a heck of a play by Hayden Stay.
Yeah, but you very impressed with how it all developed and the game the attack.
Well, they got up 28-7. I mean, I know people want to jump to the third quarter, but let's talk about the first two quarters.
There's four drives.
Four drives, four touchdowns. I think I wrote 232 yards on those four drives. They really, I mean, just moved down the field. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of
It was very
obstruction
complimentary football from the offense and defense.
Yep. And, so when they came out of the locker room, they were off a little bit. Well, if I'm calling the offense, I might change my mentality too when it's 28-7. And they were doing some similar things. It's just give credit to Youngstown State. They kind of defended them a little better to start the third quarter. So our run game, you know, wasn't going for as long. The runs with Sawyer Seidel weren't going as far as they were in the first half, that type of thing. You know, if Z-Barth, you know, broke the long run, he wasn't getting that long run. But one thing I got in my notes I didn't like, third down twice, third and long, we went long. Low percentage throws. And I kind of was like, well, I don't know what the play, you know, there's obviously three routes or four routes on every play. So Jerry chose those long throws. Okay, that's fine. But it's like we didn't do that in the first half. It didn't seem like. It seemed like we're moving the chains. You know what I mean? Like doing what we had to do to move the chains. those two throws were low percentage sideline throws, probably not going to be the way the game was going. You could kind of sense they weren't going to be completed. And just because Youngstown had a little more juice going and stuff. And those were the only couple that I was kind of like, I think we'd like those back, like try something different, you know, short cross or a screen, you know, something like that to where we'd do, I don't know. Well, who knows, you know, but then again, you're already up 28-7. So it's like his mentality maybe was, yeah, I'm going to try to get some, I haven't been trying very hard. Let's get some shots in, you know. We know we're up, we're conservative, maybe, but then third and long maybe isn't the time to, you know, whatever. We can sit here and split hairs all day, but the point is, the first half, four drives, four touchdowns. So we don't need to argue about the play calling too much here.
And yep. The way they yep. finished the game.
Yeah, you know. Fourth quarter, they came right back. Eight-minute drive. Like I said, it started at the start of the fourth quarter, 8 minutes straight, all the way down the field, and touchdown ended the game. And that was some good play calling on that one. So, yeah, they just had a little lull there in the third. But you know what? When you're up 28-7, that happens. It just does. You don't keep your foot on the pedal all game perfectly as a coordinator on either side of the ball. Yeah. Your mentality changes eventually. Seidel, Zbarth, that was Tumeyer Tank, 1-2 punch. They were what do we got? 185 yards and three touchdowns between the two of them. I mean, it was great to see Zbarth. Now that Gavin, he looked like the old, like he was running hard with speed. He broke that one around the end.
It was his birthday.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
How about what I was going to say, the offensive line? We haven't talked about them much. That's a good sign, right? When you're not focused in on a position group.
They did, yeah, the offensive line, I thought they played good, solid. You know, I'm trying to think back. There were a few gaffes in there, but I gave one of them. I remember I gave one credit to Youngstown on one. The guy shot the gap, got through. We couldn't get to him because the way the scheme was set up, you could tell the center was supposed to cut him off. He couldn't get there. There's just no way. So one of those deals, you know, you tip your cap, they got through. But, yeah, the push downfield was noticeable at times. You know, the holes were there where the running back is making his first thought about cutting 3 yards downfield. Okay, now you're in business. You know, that type of thing. So pass protection, thought that was all right too. Pass protection's been all right. You know, he had time. You know, Jerry, speaking of him, he was a little off again. Short stuff. Looked like he was pitcher short-arming it a little bit.
Those two to Fleming, though, boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like that first
Jerry on the run and downfield, Jerry is very good. Short intermediate stuff, he still seems to kind of choke it off like a pitcher, you know, aiming it maybe.
Okay.
He still seems, you can see his mechanics are different. Something looks different. And I always equate it because I played baseball and stuff, you know, when you watch baseball, you hear that lingo. He kind of snaps it real quick. Like when a short, you know, a 5-yard crosser coming across his face, he kind of throws it real quick and snaps it instead of just kind of easily sailing it right into his chest. You know, no big thrill. Because those are technically the easiest throws he's going to make all day. But he looks better downfield, you know.
Yeah.
When he's – or on the run, the one to Fleming right over the pylon, that's a tough – I mean,
it was a great
only
throw.
Fleming could have got that ball. Yeah. And if it's inside more, the guy breaks it up. If it's outside more, he carries him out of bounds. He doesn't get his foot down. It was perfect. So, yeah, Jerry's playing. He's playing good ball right now.
And you mentioned Sawyer. I talked to Eric Schmidt about this, too. There again, Sawyer with a big kick return after we needed a little spark, and he got us out to, the 42-yard line on a nice kick return.
Those are big.
And then special teams again. Field goal where we drew him off sides. And did you hear what they did?
Yeah, the fake.
It was a hand.
Yep.
They knew when the hand was coming up, the ball was coming, so they went on a second hand signal.
Yeah.
And the guy jumped, and that was a big play.
That was that 8-minute drive.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
It would have ended in a field goal to make it 31-17. Instead, we get the ball back. I think we ran three plays after that.
Yep.
Because we couldn't get in, so we're plowing ahead. Third play, I think we got in, or Zbarth got in on the third one. But that was another minute and a half we burned because that guy jumped. Yeah, the little fake hand. That's good scouting. That's Sean Kostich sitting there saying, yeah. Geez, the guys, it looks like, I mean, he's watching the tape and he's seeing their eyes on tape, or they caught it during the game. I don't know which one it was. If they caught it during where they're all watching the ends during the game and watching their eyes, seeing what they're looking at.
Yeah.
Okay. And I've never, honest to God, I don't think I've ever seen that watching UND football.
It was weird, wasn't it? It's like, why did that guy jump offside? Yeah. Did they do a hard count? And it's like, wow, it's all in the hand signal.
I watched the replay then. Yeah, he put his hand up and then down again, then up. Yeah, and then got him on the first one. So that's got to just be between the center and the holder then, right? Center, holder, kicker, I suppose. But the kicker just waits for the snap anyways. He probably didn't even know. It's got to be between Romfo and the center, and that's it, because the rest of them just wait for the ball to be snapped for them to block. So
it's nice having your quarterback as your holder, right? A quarterback. So yeah, good win. And 35-17, I don't think we were too far off on our picks. I thought Youngstown was going to score a little more. So
yep, thought so. But a good win. 4-2.
I walked out of the Alaris going, wow, that was a good football win for our program, even with the third quarter.
Yeah, because Youngstown will be all right this year. So that was a good win for the resume, 4-2. Now moving on to Southern Illinois.
And we'll talk about that coming up here at the end of the show with the Rumors Sports Bar and Grill and Casino game preview. Okay, it is that time of the show, the Development Homes Guest of the Week. We go to UND Offensive Coordinator Isaac Frickte. And Isaac, I don't know if you know this, but we put a little preview out on X that you were going to be on, and we took people's questions, and the first one I'm going to throw at you is, does pineapple belong on pizza?
Wow, that's not expected. I would say yes, as long as it has, some chicken or some meat with it. I think pineapple, chicken, barbecue sounds pretty good. I would add bacon as well to the plate. But yeah, I would definitely take some pineapple on my pizza for sure.
Okay.
Protein. Yeah, you got to have protein with it, he's saying, to that's offset right. the.
Yeah. Hey, you've been pineapple. Around a lot of football players in your day. What's the most pizza you've seen a guy eat?
Well, I mean, I know there's a lot of players that I could think of, but Coach Olson, our offensive line coach, I've seen him put down, a good solid amount of pizza in his day, Wednesday. Shout out to Deeks, here in Grand Forks, taking care of the staff. And, we get after it. I see Coach Olson really, really, hammer some za. So, he's the first one that comes to my mind right away. I don't want to say how many pieces or slices he would actually take down, but there's a hefty amount.
Right. He looks like he has room for it.
Yeah. I'd buy tickets to watch that. I really would. Hey, we haven't had you on the pregame show. Thank you for joining me after a few of the home games. But, since we've had you on the pregame show, where do you see your offense right now? Are you happy with the progress you've made throughout the season so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think happy is a relative term. We're like Coach Schmidt says every day, we're a process-based, outfit here. We're a process-based group. And, I think when you're looking at it, we're just trying to do everything we can to be consistent on a daily basis and continue to strive for excellence. And we have goals and markers that we want to hit in every single game that we play, because obviously one that adds to success when you look at it, statistically it shows up in terms of success and wins. And when you don't hit those goals, usually it results in losses and it's not 100% obviously foolproof, but I think we're doing a lot of good things at times. And, I said it on the press conference on Monday, like, we were way better in the red zone this week for whatever reason. And we're trying to do things practice wise to be better in that situation. So been really happy with our performance this last week in terms of our efficiency in the red zone. But it also be one of my biggest things that I think we need to improve on, and third downs is no different. Feel really good about what we're doing as an offense, but those are critical situations that we got to continue to improve continue to change the way we practice and continue to try and strive to meet our mark in terms of our goals of being 50% on third downs and being 70% scoring in the red zone and 100% points at all times. So, you know, when you have those markers that you want to hit, you know, we're pretty hard. We're pretty stressful to our team and to our kids every single day on how important it is to be efficient in those scenarios. So doing well, doing some good things, but I think it's just an overall consistency that we got to continue to fight to get better at.
Now, Coach, you brought up third down. Obviously, you've been doing all right in that department this year. You know, first half went great. Four drives, four touchdowns. Looked real good. You know, and Jerry was smooth. There were a couple. You know, that since we like to nitpick here. And just that's why I threw out the four drives, four touchdowns things first.
But
there were a couple. So I got questions, you know, and I'm kind of paraphrasing based on the questions. A couple plays I picked out when I rewatched the third quarter was those third and longs when Jerry went to the two sideline passes. Now, you know, granted, a little bit, the one to Nate was just a little bit overthrown. It could have been completed. The other one to the Youngstown side wasn't going to be completed. And those were ones where it looked like in the first half, I don't know, I wasn't seeing that type of thing. Were those on third and long when you went long, were those called? Like, when does Jerry know he's going to those guys, or are those just progression reads and he said he thought that was the best throw?
Well, he checked the one. So, you know, the one thing that's been really nice is that we've been given the quarterbacks the ability to have a play and then be able to check to a different play, you know, based off of the looks that they get. If I'm remembering correctly, exactly what you're saying, you know, we just missed the one. You know, we were really high to Nate on the one. And you know, probably the best thing and the worst thing about Jerry is that he presses to try and be perfect, you know, whereas in those situations, he knows we're struggling. He knows that we need to get going. He knows the defense has been on the field for a while. Like, he knows we're rolling and he knows that we got to get back, you know, to a position of driving the football and at least changing field position at minimum. And you know, like I said, it's his greatest strength because he cares so much. He prepares so well. You know, he kind of just got a little bit over anxious on that play and resulted in a high throw. You know, and then the second one I think that you bring up, Kelly, is, you know, just him learning to trust his offensive line and the maturity of him as a quarterback. Like, stay in the pocket, relax, trust your protection, step up into the meteor protection because we have checkdowns to both sides. And true six, seven man protections in those instances. So, you know, I think the first one was just a check that he made and then just got kind of wired up, as I would say, trying to make a play and just needed to aim small and relax and trust what he did in terms of his check. And then the second one, it's just, to me, it's about the maturity of learning to stay in the pocket, trust your protection, step up, vertical pocket climb, and then be able to keep your eyes downfield to find whatever option, you know, two, three, or four as you work through your progression.
We talked to Coach Schmidt last week, and I talked to Jerry after the game as well. We talked about the time that you guys are spending together, and it's helping him because he's expecting the call. So I want to talk about that relationship, and then also on X, someone wanted to say, how's the communication going with the in-helmet communication system you're using? Is that really helping him in his first year with the keys to the car?
Well, you know, I would say, one, I got to give credit to Simon Rumphel. You know, last season, Simon, obviously, and I would spend a lot more time together just in terms of reviewing and going through the call sheet and making sure he was on the same page as I was and vice versa. And, you know, one, Jerry had the initiative to ask Simon, like, hey, can I sit in on those meetings? And Simon was gracious enough to say, yeah. And You know, I think it helped Jerry understand, like, how does a starter prepare every single week? And then where can I gain the mental advantage, you know? And so right now with Jerry now and doing that with him, you know, I'd be pretty confident to say that he knows certain, you know, third down situations, certain red zone situations, certain fourth down situations, he knows 2-minute situations. He knows exactly what I'm going to call before I ever call it, you know, because I know what he likes. He knows what I like. And usually we meet somewhere in the middle to match the looks that we're talking about, number one, but number two, make sure that we're on the same page so that we kind of know exactly what the defense is going to do. And we know exactly where we want to go with the football in the pass game. So that's been super beneficial, but Jerry wouldn't be where he's at with that sort of process if it wasn't for Simon and his openness to help. So got to give credit to Simon first. And then secondly, you know, Thursdays are an awesome day where we get that opportunity to work together and sit down and have extra meeting time and talk and be able to go through those situations. So he knows exactly what he wants to see. He knows exactly what I'm going to call in those situations. And, you know, as a result, it results in more hours together, but it results in us being on the same page, which is super exciting because you can see it show up on Saturdays in terms of success. And, you know, not all the time, but most of the time it shows up in a good way. Like I said, he's just going to continue to get better and mature as he gains more experience. And some of those times that you see, you know, throwaways or scrambles and runs to the outside, you know, he's just working through his progression, and we just got to get him to stay in the pocket and trust his eyes down the field and his offensive line, because they're doing a great job. And then in regards to your question from X, honestly, it's been very, very insignificant at times, the helmet communication. Mm-hmm. And then at times it's been extremely efficient and effective, you know, like very similar to the question that we talked about earlier. Like Jerry is a guy where I have to give him less information, let him have time and his own mental headspace to process what he's seeing, because he knows exactly what's going on based off of our calls. And if I give him too much information, he'll overthink or he'll press. And so then I try to give him the play and then just kind of move on. And you, I don't know if you guys could have seen it or not, but when we played you and I 2 weeks ago, there was an instance on one drive I remember specifically, where we were driving, we were making some plays and doing some good things. And he kept, you know, putting his hand up to his left ear and pushing, he was making the push your microphone up kind of signal to me. And basically saying like, hey, shut up. I know what's going on. Just stop talking. I need my time. And so there's situations like that where, you know, again, I've learned he needs less information because he's processing it and he knows what's going on. And then there's situations that are reminders like, hey, if we get this first down, we're going to call a timeout immediately, or we're going to kill the clock, or we're going to run this without substituting. You know, or, you know, hey, check for this because this is what they've shown in this situation in terms of the defense. So it's very few and far between because he prepares so well and does such a great job of getting himself ready. But, you know, with other guys on the roster who have played, I've given them a lot more information and that's been helpful for them. With Jerry, it's a less is more type style when you're looking at the helmet communication for sure.
I just thought of something to go back to our first question. If he's ever like too nervous out there and you need to calm him down, just radio in, hey, do pineapples belong on pizza?
Yeah. Man, there you go.
Okay, now let's run this.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's there's definitely kind of the woo-saw moment if you've ever seen Bad Boys 2. He needs that opportunity to just woo-saw and relax and move on. And I think I said it, you know, maybe in our previous conversations earlier in the year, but he's been a guy that we've kind of coined the phrase, you know, be you, trust it. And that's been his thing. That's been his go-to. So when I feel like I need to shut up and need to just leave him alone and let him process it and get him to play fast and efficient and effective, I just finish my statement, whatever I'm saying to him, with be you, trust it. And it's been good for him.
If you ever thought it was getting a little too wordy out there for him, you know, in that sense, would you go back, you know, go switch to the hand signals then?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, for sure.
Because those guys are still there, right?
You still got your guys ready. Yeah, I mean, a lot of dummy signals there now, you know, a lot of dummy signals there now.
Okay.
And there was before, but even more now, because we can use the helmet communication for certain things.
But you can do both as a point, right? Very easily, you could switch to, you can do the helmet or you can do the signals anytime you want, I suppose, right?
Yep, you have the freedom.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Maybe for an NIL deal, we could like give away a dummy spot on your sideline one week. A fan could do it.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to talk to Bill and Marty in terms of, you know, how many people were allowed to have on the sideline. Yeah,
color hat.
I'd give a couple $1,000 to go down there and wear the red hat and do some signals for the day.
You can't, Tank. You can't be the red one, man. That one's way too difficult. All right. Maybe a pink one or something. Or
pink. Yeah, there you go.
And give me a stool so the guys can see me.
Oh. There you go.
Hey, Coach, what are we? I want to get to a few of these questions here. I know we're okay. Where is is there an ideal number of runs per game for Jerry, or is it just whatever you're feeling?
That's a tough question. I mean,
or I suppose you mean designed QB runs, I suppose. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I suppose you meant designed QB runs versus, you know, like last week, I think he pulled that one on, was it fourth down when he pulled it and juked the guy. Now that, I guess, is probably a 50-50. I don't know if I had to guess, but designed QB runs. Do you want to see him running a certain amount of games, or is it just whatever happens, happens?
You know, I think we have, you know, probably a list of 10 designed quarterback runs per game. You know, and it's very situational when we use them. So, you know, I don't want to say that we have, like, we have to hit this benchmark. You know, but I think that there's opportunities for us to run the quarterback and you know, he's obviously a really good runner, and has proven it over time. But there's not a number that, like, we circle every week and we say, hey, we got to hit this many, you know. I said it to the offensive staff on Sunday or Monday. I can't remember which day it was exactly, but this goes for Jerry and it goes for really anybody on our team and on our roster. You know, I remember Marty Schottenheimer when Marcus Allen was playing for the Chiefs and he's sitting there talking about our best play with our best player, you know, and his point was, get the ball to your best guy in whatever situation it may be. Get the ball to your best guy, you know. And I hope you see that where, you know, there's times that we're getting it to BJ. There's times that we're getting it to Hayden Stay. There's times that we're getting it to Gavin. There's times we're having it designed for Jerry specifically. You know, and I think it's all situationally based and it's all about getting your guys, your best players, the ball in situations that, you know, they have flourished in. So I don't know if it's a circled number like, hey, we got to have 12 or 10 quarterback runs in a game. We just naturally take it as it comes through in the game situation and the game flow.
Playing time. Boy, dang, saw the field a lot early on in the season. And, you know, we've seen him sparingly here the past couple weeks. So what's his role in this offense right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I would answer that question the same. It's all about game flow. You know, BJ Fleming's continuing to get better and better and better every day. You know, Dang is doing the same as well. I mean, he's had one of his best practices this week thus far, and he's continuing to evolve and become a better player. But, you know, go back to Marty Schottenheimer. You know, you're going to take Marcus Allen off the field in a third down situation, you know, there's times that you must have certain people in the game at certain times. And, you know, Dang has been really good in the red zone and has been really good with, kind of big body throws. And, you know, he's a guy that we continue to try to get the football to, you know, but he's a kid that, you know, has to continue to work on his pad level. And his ability to get off of press coverage. And as he improves with that, his playing time will improve and become, his role will become bigger. So, you know, he's doing good things, and I'm excited as all get out because he's still a young kid. I mean, he's only just going to turn 19, you know, so he's right. extremely young. And he's got to just keep getting better, but he'll continue to get playing time. And the hard part with the receiver position is that it ebbs and flows so much. You could be in for 40 plays in a game, and then the next game only play two, you know, because, you know, you look at the UNI game, shoot, we only had like 56 plays in the whole game, which is the least we had all season. So, you know, his role will evolve, and he'll get more playing time as we go further here. But he's doing a heck of a job getting better, so I'm excited about Dang.
This one's a kind of a broad question, I guess. I'll put you on the spot here. Sure. Which player, okay, has surprised you? Not necessarily impressed, but been surprised by him the most this season? You know, you're six games in, and which is there a player where I'm thinking back to August 1st, you know, you thought he was this, and now six games in, you're thinking, wow, geez, I wasn't expecting that. Is there anybody you could point to on your offense?
Well, I think Isaac Caravu, you know, he stands out to me. You know, obviously Caleb Olson was our starting right guard and then unfortunately gets hurt in the Kansas State game. And I know Coach Olson and I, from the time that we were at Winona State, we loved Caravu as he was coming out of Detroit Lakes and felt like he would be an elite level Division II player. And, you know, then he walks on here, and that's a kid again that has just continued to get better and better and better, but prepares every single day like a professional. You know, like even before Caleb got hurt, Isaac was a guy that clearly watched everything Caleb Olson did and then tried to mirror it every single day. And, you know, I guess I don't know if I could say that I was like surprised to see him play and to be you know, a guy for us because of his preparation. But to be honest, it's just been kind of a pleasant excitement, I guess, is the way that I would put it, because he's a kid that has earned everything that he's gotten. And, you know, the exciting thing there again is he's only a redshirt freshman. So he's super young and he's playing a lot of good football right now. Love his intentionality, love his physicality. He's got good feet. You know, he's just learning as we go here.
Another question from X. What kind of defensive schemes are the hardest to call plays against? Well, that's an easy one. The good ones, right? The good defensive schemes? Those are the hardest?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to answer that question with this going public and being on the internet for everybody.
Oh, come on. Give us your scouting report, Coach.
Yeah, I'm not giving anything out.
The ones with really good players?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't matter. You play three down, four down, you know, it sure seems like we see every single defense known to man, whether it's from Coach Schmidt through spring ball and fall camp or into the season as we've gone here. They're all tough, you know. They all have good players. They're all hard to game plan against. Yeah, you're exactly right, Kelly. I mean, it's anybody who has great players, you know, which is our league. I think that's the thing that people fail to realize at times is that everybody in our league is good, you know. So they're all tough to prepare for and call plays against. It's never easy. You can't just line up and run outside zone and just say, hey, our guys are just better than theirs, or they're so bad because their scheme is bad. There's nobody like that. So everybody's good. They're all tough. Tough question.
Maybe a better question on that would be, what day of the week do you feel like you have a good grasp of a defense? Like Tuesday when you're putting a plan together?
Or do you got to see Wednesday's practice? Like Tuesday and Wednesday, you got to see your guys do it before, you know, a Wednesday night you start to dial it in then and say, yep, that's working in practice or that isn't?
I think it's all about how much your kids can handle.
Okay.
You know, I really think that we do a good job like of game planning and being on the same page as an offensive staff. And like, I feel like I have a pretty decent handle, at least schematically, of what the defense is trying to do by, you know, Tuesday. But I think it's more so like you can't get caught up in, well, we can run this and we can run that and we can run whatever. It's all about what your kids can handle. So to me, it's more or less, what can our kids do? How can I streamline it? How can I'm big on, I say silos all the time. I mean, maybe it's because I grew up in a rural town, big farming community, but like, if you can silo things into certain silos, whether it's run game, pass game for quarterbacks and for players, like to me, then you can just teach everything the same as, and you might only have four or five silos for that week, but you know, you can teach them all the same. Hey, this play is just like that play. And this play is just like that play. So the footwork's the same. The timing's the same. The route depth's the same. If you can do that, then you can have more offense, at least as it projects to the defense. But, you know, I just think that you better have a really good grasp about what the defense is doing by Tuesday. And then, you know, you got to make sure that your kids are able to handle the install, you know, effectively Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and at least be able to conceptualize it, grab it, and see themselves having success in those situations in order to, you know, make those calls on Saturday.
Before we let you go, Coach, just one or two questions here. Southern Illinois, yep, coming up this week. Let's top, you know, a top 12 matchup easily. You know, I think you guys came in at 8 here, we just saw, mm-hmm, and they're, you know, they're just outside of that. What are you seeing? Give us Southern Illinois defense. Give us the 30,000-foot view. What are we going to see on Saturday?
Yeah, four down, okay, super athletic defensive ends, big physical, strong D tackles, long, you know, physical linebackers, a secondary that can really run, plays the ball well, you know, mixes a lot of coverages in. You know, you're going to see some cover three, some cover four, some Tampa, a lot of different projections as you look at it from the offensive point of view. Super disciplined, don't pressure a whole lot, but, you know, play hard, play fast, play physical. Going to be a really tough unit here. You know, we're going to have our work cut out for us, and obviously playing at their place, you know, they're going to be juiced up and ready to go for us to come into their house. So, really good group. We're going to have to do a good job protecting. They got really, really fast ends and athletic ends, and they're big on the inside. And then, you know, they do some, you know, exotic stuff in terms of coverage where you're going to have some different presentations for the quarterback, and we're going to have to do a good job of helping Jerry out with some of our, you know, looks and hopefully streamline it, like I said, into the same silos where it's a lot of same as teaching for him so that he can go out and play fast and create some explosive plays.
What's that tight end room going to look like? You've kind of had a carousel of tight ends this year.
Yeah, I mean, finally starting to get some guys back and healthy. You know, Hayden Stays had a good week this you know, week and thus far. You know, Aiden Baymeyer starting to come back and getting healthier as we move every single day. Nate Ramachka's getting healthier and getting closer every single day. So there's going to be a wide variety of them that are out there, which is good. That presents problems for defenses, creates some issues for them. You know, it's a good deep group that's super talented. So we got to do a good job of putting them in good positions to have success.
Let's take a trip around the Missouri Valley. Thanks to our good friends at the Toasted Frog. You can check them out downtown Grand Forks. A great place to dine before or after any UND athletic events. Well, Murray State, guess what? They didn't win this week. They played Illinois State, losing to score 46-32. No surprise.
Battled, though, right? But it's closer than it should have been. I mean, you know, Murray's been giving up a lot of points this year. 46-32 is closer than what most people would think, with Illinois State being, you know, a top 15 team in the country. So, yeah, that was slightly interesting result.
I think it was McFeely just wrote a story about that. Like, wow, do you guys regret letting them in the conference?
Well, I don't. It's just so far away, and it's like, you know, it's,
they haven't done much for the league, have they?
Well, no, because we don't get their basketball team. You know, I mean, yeah, if you get their basketball team, well, obviously their basketball team's, in the Missouri Valley, I think. You know, so maybe that was the angle, but the Summit needs their basketball, which they're obviously not going to do that. I get that. But, yeah, we don't want their football team.
It's who would you rather play, Morningside or Murray State?
Morningside.
Morningside.
In well, Morningside these days, though, they're tearing up the NAIA
but
now.
I'm talking about the old days of Morningside.
30 years ago, yeah. Morningside?
30 years of Morningside.
They're pretty comparable.
Yeah. North Dakota State beats Southern Illinois. Boy, that score kind of got away for 45-17.
Tight game at half, and then, they pulled away, and they just, a few mistakes by Southern Illinois, and then you can't do that, and NDSU just pulled away because they were the better team. But, yeah, it was a good game for two quarters.
South Dakota beats Indiana State 19-14.
Oof, ick. Jeez, they're just, I don't know.
I bet
they could have. I was watching the end of it.
Was that Indiana a tough State, game to watch?
Well,
it like one of those games where neither team looked like they wanted to win?
Yeah. I had it on, turned it off, turned it back on when I saw it was 19-14 at the end. Indiana State had the ball at midfield to go down and win it, and then went 4-0, just really, just ugly plays. Just was, I don't know how. I mean, you're going down to win the game. You don't win ever at Indiana State. And it was just ugly. I mean, four ugly plays in a row that just didn't produce anything. And so South Dakota hung on. But, yeah, I mean, I was kind of thinking maybe with those bigger wins that they just had, you know, that South Dakota was going to turn it around a little bit. But, yeah, that one didn't go very well.
South Dakota State beats Northern Iowa 31-3. Probably surprise there.
Yeah, but that was ugly, too, right away. And then we knew, I mean, Northern Iowa just can't score. They just cannot move the football. So, yeah, especially you're not going to do it in Brookings. So.
No surprises in the league this week, really. Let's move along. Rumors Sports Bar, Grill, and Casino. It's the 360 game preview as we take on Southern Illinois University, the Salukis, at 2 o'clock on Saturday. I got a good feeling about this game. I just like the way our football team is playing right now, Kelly.
It's going to be a good game. I mean, the first thing I wrote for us, Tank, very even matchup between two similar teams. I mean, that's the best way to describe this game. They're good. Everyone in Fargo saw that last week. They're good. It got away from them, but they got talent. They got players. They always do. Southern Illinois is one of those teams that, you know, I've referenced over the years. They look good in their pads. Okay, and when you're warming up, they look good, and they always have. They've always had good guys. So you can see it when you watch them play, receiver in particular. Yeah, I mean, this is gonna be a tough one, especially on the road. They just lost. They know they need a win. Yeah, it's gonna be a four quarter game.
It feels like we're playing with a lot of confidence right now.
I think so.
Do you like that? Is that a good way to sum up this football team for UND right now?
Usually,
there's not too much that phases this group. It's all what can we control, and they're really sticking to that.
I think I'd agree with that. That's a good point. Defensively usually is where that shows up when a team's playing. You know, offense, they know they need to go down and move the ball and play with, you know, a little bit of swagger. The offense at UND usually doesn't have a lot of huge swagger to them, you know, and stuff.
Tony Stein was quarterback, right?
Yeah, since the Cogswell Cannon, yep. But they move the ball, you know, they just move it methodically, and they just go down and score. And then they run off the field, you know. But the defense is where you can see it. They got a little juice this year, a little horsepower. You know, they're moving around out there and kind of celebrating a little bit. And those especially in the secondary with those three safeties back there, those guys are making plays. And, God, speaking of which, I told myself I wasn't going to bring this up, but Wiltshire dropped another interception this week. Tank, I'm mumbling it because I don't want to say it too loud, but that was right in his hands. Like,
yeah.
He could have five interceptions this year. Oh, man. I mean, but here's the thing. Then I tell myself, I take a step back right away, and I'm like, but he's always putting himself in position to make these plays. So there's value. I mean, there's a ton
they're
of value.
They're going
to come. Yeah, he's just got to catch the ball. Oh, my, I felt horrible for him. I mean, I'm not even mad. I feel bad for the kid because I played that position. It's the worst feeling in the world. Because you could see him. He puts his hands up. He's like, no. You know, like, but he was right there. Put himself in a position. Curl route. I think the guy curled out. The quarterback threw it in. right in his hand. Oh, so anyway, but yeah, the secondary's playing. They're playing with some swagger. Obviously, we've already talked about the inside linebackers. They're looking good. They're playing fast unit, real energetic. Defensive line, once again, not a lot of swagger there. They're just solid. They're
bringing their lunch pails.
Yeah, right? They're just doing what they have to do up front. So,
doing the dirty work up front.
Yeah, this is a confident group right now. And if you got to have that if you're going to go into Southern Illinois, because they're always a confident group, a more than confident group, put it that way.
We held Brungard, last week's quarterback, to under 80 yards rushing, which was a win, definitely a win. But another running quarterback today, this week. Their leading rusher is a quarterback, DJ Williams. Have you seen him at all? Is he similar to Brungard?
Bigger.
This year he's going to be a little bigger.
Yeah, similar.
Makes you miss a little. Yes. Tries to, yeah.
He can.
Can be a little squirmy.
He's 6'3", 220. You know, Brungard was, they say 6 foot. I'd say 5'11", a tops, but about 210. You know, the guy was a tank. And this DJ Williams is a bigger guy. 6'3", 220. He can run, though. Quick, elusive. So they're similar in the way they're used. Yes, they look different. But, they're a lot of designed runs. I don't think they design their runs as much as Youngstown does, but Williams is by far their leading rusher. 65 attempts for 427 yards net. I mean, he's gotten more yards than that. Sacks are factored in, but the next closest is 38 attempts. So he's got, you know, almost double the amount of attempts as the next guy, and he's the quarterback. So you can tell what they want to do. They like to do the you know, they'll spread you out, fake a bubble screen, and then run backside QB counter, you know, QB draw, that type of thing. So they'll fake, he'll turn to his left, pump fake, and then run to his right. That type of thing. You know, pull a guard, get him out in front there. That type of thing. They like to just, they want to get the ball in his hands. Coach Frickty, who we just talked to, said, get the ball to your best players at the best time, right, when they need it.
Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah, well, he's their guy. They're, you know, once again, they made up their mind, kind of like Youngstown did with Brungard. He's our guy. We're going to have him run the ball because he's the best we got. And if you stop it, there's a chance you beat us. Well, eventually NDSU stopped it to the point where they made him one-dimensional, and then you're kind of in business there. But the thing I'm worried about this week most is not the QB run game again, because I think we were schematically sound enough to slow that down. We won't stop it, but we'll slow it down. I'm worried about the deep stuff again, because these three receivers that Southern Illinois has are better than Youngstown's, I think. You know, they're close. Youngstown's they're pretty good. Tom, Zach, and Flash were pretty good. But these three they look good. 6'4", 6'2", and then they got the 5'8 guy. So they got all body types out there moving around. And I would say if you're a UND fan, you're worried about the deep stuff. Again, giving up the big play ball. Because, well, think of last week. We gave up the touchdown down the middle. You know, that wasn't a long pass, probably 18 yards, whatever it was. But the two long ones, the Flash, those were what hurt us. Because they hurt because, like I said, you just don't want to give those up because they can't do anything in the run game. So they're not getting anything little in front of you. They're not getting 5 yards of pop on carries. So you don't want to give up the long one. You want to eventually make them fizzle their way out. Let them fizzle, you know. So
this would be a good bend but don't break. Yep, shorten the field, get them in the red zone, and then make things more difficult, right?
Yeah.
Keep them more contained.
Keep them out of the end zone. Yep.
Beat.
Yeah. Well, that's what we did last week. They got in the red zone a few times and we stopped them.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, that's ideal defense. You know, if you can't stop them right away, that's ideal. But yeah, this is another one where the deep stuff is going to be paramount, where we defend that deep ball. Because the thing is with offenses too, they don't keep going deep. If it's not working, they will get flustered. If you knock, if the corner knocks it down once or twice, well, now they'll hesitate, or DJ Williams will hesitate. They're like, geez, you know, God, I just threw that twice and they knocked it down. How many times do I do it before I start looking like an idiot here? You know, I got to do something else, right? We got to run. I got to throw a cross, or I got to throw a comeback. I got to do something else. You know, so defending the deep ball early is key for the rest of the game, because it completely throws them off about what they think they can do. And you know, I'm looking at, like I said, the receivers, Vincent Davis, 31 catches. Jay Jones, 19 catches. Fabian McCray, number 9, he looks really good, 16 catches. So between the two, he got 66. Between the three guys, 66 catches, Tank. I mean, that's their guys. And, you know, he'll find them. And we played Williams, you know, what people have noticed. He was Murray State 2 years ago down there. He was their quarterback. He transferred to Southern Illinois. So we've already played him once. He wasn't near the player he is now. But he gave us issues. I think it was ended up 45-31 that game. We couldn't stop him. Well, we kept screwing up on God. We kept – what was that? 3rd and 18 we gave up?
Hey,
and then we gave up a 4th.
Let's not relive it. This is
– oh, God.
Let's give stay up like positive. Let's 4th and 19.
Oh, man. I'm
don't
like –
get yourself worked up over
yeah,
there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, worked up. All I got to do is have those flashbacks. I start to get worked up.
They have a tendency to give up a few rushing yards. So very important for the offense to stay in rhythm in this game, right? So we're not relying on passing because this has like let's pound Zbarth in the second half and make him pay, right?
You get him tired. Yep, I think that's that type of game. They're giving up 186 rushing yards a game. So obviously our offensive staff has seen that on tape. You know, you can say a stat, but the stats aren't always true. But when you look at their schedule, yeah, the stats are true. You know, it's just the way it's played out. So they're susceptible up front. We want to keep our defense off the field is what we want to do because their offense has playmakers. They got all conference type guys on this offense. The Saluki offensive line isn't that good. They're decent. Some of the guys just are skinnier. They're not a dominant unit. So that's why when UND has the ball, you know, we wanna just, oh, man, we want to keep just move slow, methodical. Like I said, you know, 3rd and 8, okay, let's try to get 9. You know, and don't throw deep like that. You know what I mean? And just kind of low percentage stuff. And where Fricky's kind of found a groove is the 3rd and long runs. That's kind of the new thing in football now is where defenses are overcompensating for, well, they're going to throw the ball, so they all
and
slide back.
That's a lot
back.
Of A-gap, too, yeah, they isn't just, it? Just
coaches are just handing it off up here the middle now on 3rd and 8, and they're getting it. You know, that's the funny thing about it. So, yeah, football's evolved a little bit in that way. But, yeah, to be able to run the ball like every week, I mean, I'm not breaking news there, but in this one, on the road – against a top 12 team as talented as Southern Illinois. I mean, this is a resume builder. So you want to, UND gets this one, they're in business, you know, for the rest of the year. So, yeah, to be able to run the ball and methodically take a little bit off Jerry's plate, too. I mean, he's 6 games in his first season. Is he fatigued? I don't know, maybe. I mean, a little mental fatigue, maybe. You know, you never know. He's never played like, you know, he hasn't played since high school. So, take a little bit off his plate, let him hand it off 35, 40 times, and, you know, see, and then have that be the game plan.
His feet could be a big part of this game then, too.
Yeah,
right?
There you go. And, yeah, that's a good point.
He's showed he can do it.
That juke he put on that linebacker last week. That was 4th down, too, I believe.
Yeah, his the moves he's got out there.
Stop and start. Woo.
We might have a new thing. The fellows at the end of the hallway on Sweet Row where we got to go out for the press box. I was working my way downfield. I think these guys had a long day. We'll just put it that way. But I had to fist bump all of them. Hey, you Kaminsky crazy? Are you a Kaminsky crazy? They said, and I'm like, heck yeah, yeah. Let's go.
All right,
so
there
I
we
brought
go.
That up to Jerry. He's like, I hadn't heard that one yet. So I'm like, they're working that upstairs
slogans
for you.
Yeah, there we go.
But I said it's nice because when you're playing well, they're talking about you. Right?
Yep. Well, yeah, he's playing
and that
well.
That was one thing we talked about too when we looked at the stats, and I said, oh, there again, the key one, no interceptions. He's had one all year.
What's he, 17 touchdowns, 1 interception, and the 1 interception is when we didn't get the protection. The running back didn't pick up the blitzer, and he reached out and hit his arm. So the ball flew up in the air, and the guy, same guy might have caught it. That's not an interception. That's not his fault. Okay, I mean, yeah, he, I don't know. I honestly don't even know what he'd have done differently. So it's not his fault. So he had 1 interception. That wasn't his fault. 17 touchdowns. He's taken care of the ball. Like I said, the only thing we can point to is just that intermediate short stuff where it looks like he's kind of choking it off a little bit. you know, throwing it at the feet. Yeah, he's throwing it at their feet sometimes and stuff. But it's what that tells me, though, anyone who's played baseball, it's too easy. Too easy of a throw. Well, second baseman with a yip. You know, God, it's too easy of a throw. You get nervous. I'm not
Chuck even, Knobloch.
I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm thinking now.
He wrecked you know his career I mean? With it.
But when Kaminsky's out on the run, he's not thinking anymore. He's not nervous. He's like, I got to get rid of this ball. Wham. Just lets loose and throws it. That's where it tells me, yeah, all right. You know, it's just something to work through. Get used to, you know, not overcomplicating a easy throw that's wide open. So, but yeah, this one, Tank, it's going to be a good game. I mean, definitely, if you're a UND fan, you want to tune into this one because on the road, I mean, it would be a good game at the Alaris, but it's going to be real good on the road.
I'm going to roll with confidence. I'm going to knock on wood first, though, because we don't want to jinx Jerry on that interception talk that we just had. So
nope.
I'm a little superstitious there, but we got that out of the way. I like the confidence UND is rolling with. They're a tough nose football team to play right now, and I think we're going to go on the road and pick up a nice 28-14 win on Saturday.
28-14.
Yeah.
All right. 28-14. Hold maybe on to 14.
Crack a few cool ones after and play the fight song out at the all lake. Right. I'm going to be out at the lake this weekend watching it. Maybe get some leaves done and then celebrate a win.
There you go. Good call. I like it. Like the confidence. I'm a little closer again this week. We've been at Tank's been the rambunctious one this year with big spreads, but they've come through for you.
I haven't been far off, have
I? No, you know, your big spreads have been correct. I've been a little more cautious for some reason. Last year, I don't know what it is this year. I'm getting old.
See, yeah. I've been up there hanging around after the game. I'm getting a good vibe with the fellas. I feel it, you know. Things are rolling good
in the
right
groove.
Now. It all goes back to even Eric Schmidt saying they didn't even do the 24-hour rule after Northern Iowa. He thought by the time they landed in Grand Forks, they were ready to go again for the next week.
Yeah, yep.
That's good.
Yep, good mentality to have. Well, he's instilling his mentality. It's going to take time. But, yeah, I think these guys, they're figuring out that you need to be ready to go on Tuesday every week. Okay, and I don't know, you know, some that's tough for some kids. Okay, halfway through the year, they're getting tired, and Tuesday rolls around. Oh, another game this week. Who is it? You know, they're not quite dialed in because they're tired from the previous 5 weeks. Well, there's only 12 guys, so it's hard. Yeah, it definitely
what
gets old.
What you signed up for?
Yeah, but you know, it's part of the package, part of the deal, right? So, yeah, he's starting it. He's instilling it. He's getting them with the right mentality, but I'm going to go a little closer. I'm going 31-27. Wild one. Okay, wild one back and forth. I don't even know how it's going to get there. I think there's going to be some big plays in this one. I think it's going to be a high-energy game. There are a lot of playmakers on the field in this one. So it definitely one, you know, I'm excited for. I think a UND fan should be excited. This is what we want to play, you know, a top team in the country. Both 4-2 and you get to 5-2 with this one on your resume. Whoever wins it is set up nicely for the future.
Well, let's hope it's us. And we'll be tuning in. Catch Jack Michaels, Coach Berg on the radio broadcast all across the Fighting Hawks radio network. Thanks to KFGO Studios for allowing us to record here today. And, hey, I think it's ESPN Plus, right? We'll have it if you want to watch it on TV. They have all the games. I don't know if Midco's going down to take the feed, but either way, it should be a fun one, and we'll be back next week as well for another pregame show, and we want to thank you for supporting UND Football 360, and hey, spread the word. There's still a lot of people that don't know about this podcast yet, and things are rolling right now, and it's a great source for UND football information, and we appreciate you for all your support. Enjoy the game.